Thank you, Ivan. Good morning. Great to see all of you this morning, or afternoon. For some of you, Sundays, 12 o'clock is your morning, so it's okay. But I'm so glad that I have this opportunity to share with you and be here with you. This week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to just share with you some of my thoughts around what's been happening. It's not going to be a new series. You know, usually we speak in series. It's not going to be a new series. But I'm just going to share with you some thoughts with you today. And it's a little bit disjointed in some places, but I hope that you take back something from it. You know that over the last 6 weeks, we were covering a series called Amazing Grace. And I felt it was a really powerful and great series. We covered a lot of topics in Amazing Grace. We spoke about how God's grace for us is abundant. It's abundant. There's no limit. It's not scarce. It's always available for us. We spoke about how it justifies us that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from, no matter whether you think you're good or you're bad, God has justified us so that we have a right standing with Him and that we can now approach. We are now not sinners, but we are sons and daughters of Christ. We spoke about how God sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He makes us holy. We are different because of what He's done for us and His amazing grace for us. We spoke about how God's grace is an enriching grace, how God enriches our lives because of the grace that is given to us, and we can always step on it. We spoke about how God's sufficient grace is there for us when we struggle, when we are in difficult times, when there's different situations in our life. His grace is definitely sufficient for us in every reason we can count on Him. And we spoke last week about God's inviting grace, that His grace is always available, always there for us, and there's nothing that stops us from approaching God and saying, God, I want to receive Your grace in my life. And so we spoke about grace in great, great lengths. And, you know, over 6 weeks, I hope that you picked up something. I picked up something. And over this last week, what I was doing was, in my own life, I asked God, you know, God, if all this is true, then how does this impact my life? What changes about my life? And it changes the way I see God, definitely, and the way that I treat God, maybe in the way I worship Him, maybe in the way I read His Word, maybe the way I pray, maybe I spend my quiet time, and in many different things. But it also changes not just the way that I treat God, but it also changes the way that I should treat others. If God's grace is shown to me in such a great way, how can I respond and extend that grace to others? And so over this last week, I've been thinking about that. And I've come up with a few thoughts here and there, but I want to try to share with you some perspectives today. It's not going to be like a real hard-on study, but I just want to share with you some of my thoughts and some of my reflections on that, and hopefully you gain something from this, okay? I'm going to start today from a passage of Scripture that's familiar to some of you. And this passage is in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 was written by who? Matthew! Very good! You guys have been doing your homework again. Very good. Man, you guys are smart. So it's written by Matthew, and it's one of the Gospels. And in Matthew 25, there are a few parables. Now, a parable, again, is a story that was told by Jesus. It's a story that's not true, but it's a story that's told to illustrate a truth. And so in Matthew 25, there's one parable called the parable of the talents. Okay, and I'm going to tell you about this parable a little bit, not the whole parable, but just want to bring out a few key things about this parable. And when we talk about talents in the Bible, okay, a lot of times it's speaking about a talent is a system of measurement. A talent is roughly about 30 to 60 kilos. So when someone says, I gave him a talent of silver, or I gave him a talent in the Bible, it means that I gave him something of about 30 to 60 kilograms, roughly. Okay? Roughly, 30 to 60 kilograms. So when you see the word talent here, it doesn't mean, you know, Malaysia got talent, but it's a measure, it's an amount, okay? 30 to 60 kilograms, that's about 5 to 6 years' wages usually in those times. Right? I'm going to read from verse 14 to 18, and this is a parable that Jesus told to some people. So listen to this from Matthew 25, verse 14 onwards. For it will be like a man going on a journey. So this is a rich man, he's going on a journey, who called his servants, and he got servants, right? And entrusted to them his property. To one of the servants, he gave 5 talents, that's about 5 bags, okay? So imagine he gave him 5 bags of gold, right? And to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. So according to their ability, he gave them different amounts. Then he went away. He who had got 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more. So the guy who got 5, he did his business, he got another 5 more. Very good. So he who had 2 talents made 2 more. Wow, very productive. And he who had received the 1, it tells us that he went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Okay, so he just dig it, put it inside the ground and covered the 1 talent, right? So that's the one. We can read on, and you can go back and read on in Matthew 25, the rest of the parable. And I'm going to stop here. So it's a very simple parable. Rich man goes away, gives five bags of gold, maybe 50,000 ringgit if you like, just for equivalence easy. And another guy, he gives 2,000, and another guy gives 10,000, and they all come back, and one guy makes 50,000 out of the 50,000, one guy makes 20,000 out of 20,000, one guy doesn't make anything out of 10,000. Okay, so that's the parable. Now, I'm not going to tell you the whole parable, I'm not going to tell you, and you can read, and there's a moral behind all this, and there's a story behind all this in Matthew 25. Here's the thing, okay? Today, as I do this, I'm asking myself, right, how many of us have received something from Christ in our life? And how much have we received from Christ? And I want to talk today about how much grace, capabilities, talent that God has given each one of us. Now, to some of us, it's different, okay? You are a 50,000, you are a 5-talent person. Some of you are a 2-talent person. And some of you are a 1-talent person. But for sure today, there's a no 0-talent person here. Agree? But I want to talk today about how we respond to God's grace in terms of treating and serving others. And I want to use this as a start to say that, you know what? God's given every one of us certain gifts and talents in our life. Agree? How many of you here feel that you have a gift or a talent or a capability? Nobody. Everyone should be putting up their hands and say, yeah, I think I got some gifts, right? Agree? Yeah, agree? And if I say, how many of you feel that you don't have a talent or ability or a capability in your life? None of you should be putting up your hands. All of us have some capability and some talent and some gift that God has given into us. Maybe in different measure, but you all have. And today what I want to speak about is this. I want to speak about how the talents and the gifts that God has given us, how we extend grace to others is really by taking these talents, these gifts that God's given us and using it to the full potential and the full capability that we have in our life. Makes sense, right? So I want to take us into another portion of Scripture because it helps us to understand this a little bit more. And I'm going to take us into the book of 1 Peter. And I want to test you again. Who wrote 1 Peter? Anyone? I mean, I know it's a really difficult question, but... Anyone? Peter? Okay, very good. You've been doing your homework. Most scholars agree that Peter wrote 1 Peter. But when did he write this and how did he write this and to who did he write this? Okay, so let me try to give you a bit more background. It was written to a group of Christians, to the Christian church, in this area called Asia Minor. Those of you who play music, there is a minor key. Yeah, similar, right? So Asia Minor was an area in that time that represents kind of like modern day, it would be somewhere around Turkey. So there was a group of churches there, and he wrote to this group of churches. And at that time, this group of churches were persecuted. They were under a lot of persecution. Probably some of them were taken and thrown into prison. Some of them were beaten. It was not an easy time in that period of time. Peter himself, when he wrote this, was most likely, most scholars say, in Rome. What was he doing in Rome? He was in prison in Rome. He probably had been trialed, he probably had been wrongly accused, he probably had been beaten, if not now, in the past, and he was now in Rome. And the book of 1 Peter was probably written about AD 80, okay, around AD 80, so 80 years after the birth of Christ, so it was written around that time. And during that time, the church was persecuted. If you go to history, you can see all the Roman emperors who had persecuted the Christians around that time. You can read all that, and that's all history. So that's the background when this is written. And he writes this as a time when he's under persecution and he knows the church is under persecution and he knows the church is going through a very, very difficult time. There's a lot of things he says in 1 Peter, but this is an interesting thing that he says in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, chapter 10 to 11, this is what it says. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, you know, if I'm Peter and I'm writing to a group that's being persecuted, let's say all of you are being persecuted today, you're getting beaten and you're getting put in jail, you know what I would write? All right, don't lose courage. You know, God is with you. Everything will be fine. You know, I understand and I empathize with you. It's okay. You know, you just be strong. Peter wrote all that, but Peter also included this and he says, each of you receive a gift, serve one another, even through this difficult time that you're going through, even through this persecute time when you're going through persecution, even though when you're feeling down, you're feeling lousy, oh, everybody's, you know, ostracizing you from society, but he still says, serve one another. So it must mean, maybe, you know, in Peter's mind that, you know, yeah, all this is important, you're going through a difficult time, but what's important is that you continue, even in this difficult time, you continue to serve one another. So I think it's important for us as we look at our Christian life. It may be up, it may be down, it may be difficult, it may be okay. Whatever situation we are in, Serving is still one of the most important things that we can do. It's still an important thing for Peter to tell that church at that time, and I think it's still an important thing for us as a church to receive at this time, that we continue to serve. Now, I know that many of us here serve. And, you know, this morning when I did a poll and I asked a survey, I got a very interesting response this morning, and I'll tell you about it in a while. But today, I want to do a survey with you. Okay, would you help me? Not to embarrass you, not to make you feel bad, not to make you feel proud as well, but I just want to kind of know. Today, if you already in this church serve in some form, maybe you're usher, musician, any of the technical side, or you serve as a life group leader, or you do any of these things, if I could ask you in a moment just to put your hands up, not to embarrass anyone, okay? So any one of you who is serving in this church right now, could you just quickly raise your hand, just let me see quickly, 1, 2, 3, go. Don't be afraid, okay. Oh, very good. That's about maybe 63.2% of the people here, roughly around there. This morning when I did this survey, it was closer to about 80-90% of the people put up their hand, okay? So I said, okay, it's dismissed, let's pray. God bless you, you don't need to hear this and we're gone. But again, it's not really to embarrass anyone or to put anyone and make you proud, but it's really, even if you're serving, I want to encourage you today. And if you're not serving, you know, it's a good chance for you to ask yourself why. And again, we are not here to make you feel obligated or condemned, but we just want to tell you why. So out of this portion of Scripture, 4:10-11, I want to bring out a few key things today. Hopefully it helps you. Just some of my thoughts and some of the questions that I had as I read this portion of Scripture. So each of us, as we receive a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I shared with you just now that each one of us has received a different measure of the gifts of God. We looked at the parable of talents, and each one of us has received a different amount of gifts and different kinds of gifts. Some of you would make great ushers. Some of you don't make good ushers. Some of you will make great musicians and great singers. Some of you, you know, that's not your thing. Some of you teach very well. Some of you, when you teach, people get confused. Some of you speak very well. Some of you, like me, when you speak, you're not sure whether people really understand you. You know, so we all have a different gift. Some of you have a great gift for administration or leadership. Of course, the Bible also speaks about certain kinds of gifts, like the gift of prophecy, the gift of preaching, the gift of praying for people, the gift of all kinds of ministries, hospitality. The Bible speaks about all these kinds of gifts, right? And, you know, each one of us is gifted differently. Some of you are really, you know, you've done it and you find that, yeah, God uses you in that and you're quite good at it. Some of you have tried it and you know that's not for you. When you pray for people, instead of them getting better, they get worse. Maybe, you know, that's think about it. But you know, so each one of us has been given a different portion of gifts and a different amount of gifts and a different amount of resources and a different amount of time. And the question for us today is really just to check ourselves. If you are serving today, I'm glad you're serving, right? But if you're not serving today, thinking about it, you know, I just want to leave one question with you. Again, not to make you feel upset or anything. Just want to leave one question with you. Has God given you gifts that you can use to serve others? That's what he's saying. Serve one another. Do you have some gifts? Do you have some capabilities? Do you have some natural gifts even, you know? Or even some resources that you can use to serve others? And I want to encourage you, if you are not serving, we want to encourage you to take that step. Speak to someone from the church. Speak to your leader. Speak to any one of us. We'd be happy to say, you know, we want to create opportunities for you to serve. Here, we are not here to force you to serve. Don't get us wrong. We've never forced anyone to serve. Although some of you who serve feel that we force you to serve. Actually, we never force you to serve, okay? If you feel that it's not your calling, just let us know. But we never force anyone to serve. But we want to encourage you to serve. We want to make opportunities for you. We want to create opportunities for you to be able to serve one another. You know, we think that as you serve, you will be a blessing to others. And as you serve, you know, it's going to be a powerful impact on your life and you feel part of the community. But we don't want you to feel obligated to serve. We don't want you to feel that if you don't serve, you're not part of the community. If you don't serve, you won't go to heaven. No, okay? Not right doctrine. If you don't serve, you won't, you know, get as blessed as someone else. That's not our intention at all. Our intention is that we really want to open up the doors for you. Each one of you, any one of you, if we can create an opportunity for you to serve, we will create an opportunity for you to serve. We're blessed in this church. We're really blessed in this church that quite a high number of our people, around about maybe 70%, as I start to list down people, about 60, 70, maybe even 80% of our people are involved in one way or another in our services.
We have so many people doing different things that, you know, I tried to list down who's doing what, and sometimes it's just mind-boggling. I stopped halfway because there's just so many people involved. Example is that we started our Chinese service. You know, our Chinese service is purely run by volunteers, and they wanted to start it, and, you know, we can't just empower them and say, okay, you're going to do, you know. And really, that's the kind of attitude that we have this. Let me tell you this. I'm very proud. I'm very blessed because this is not normal. Not many churches are like this. But in every nation, Damansara, we see such a great culture. We see such a great DNA. We see such a sense of community that people just want to serve. And I'm glad and I'm proud to be part of this church because of that. And I want to encourage you, if you have not taken that step, you know, no obligation, don't feel stressed. But we want to encourage you to take that step to serve. And if you're already serving, I'm so grateful that you're serving. I really am. And I'm sure you're a blessing to a lot of people. And I feel blessed because of you serving. Whether you are an usher in the morning when I come in, you know, you brighten up my day. I you know, it's a Sunday morning. I'm not in my best mood sometimes on Sunday morning. But when you smile, it helps me. And when the baristas serve the coffee and I drink, my spirit returns to my body, you know. And everything is just so wonderful because of how you guys serve. And I'm just so grateful that you serve. And I want to thank you for serving. I want to thank you for serving. You do a great, great service for everyone here, and you serve others. And the other question that I asked myself as I went through this was this. How much am I serving? Am I serving enough? And I don't know if any of you have ever asked yourself, how do I know whether I'm serving cukup enough, or am I over-serving? Am I under-serving? I don't know if any of you have ever asked a question, but maybe I'm strange. I ask myself these kind of questions. But I ask my question, so God, you know, how do I measure myself? Do I compare to the person next to me? Maybe I compare to Pastor Sean. Yeah, sure, Kala. No, I can't compare to Pastor Sean. Maybe I should compare to this person or that person. And maybe you've asked yourself, you know, or maybe you started comparing yourself with someone and say, you know, wow, this guy is serving so much, I'm not doing enough. Or maybe you're comparing yourself to this guy. This guy, do so little. Lousy fella, I'm better than him. Maybe you've never thought like that, and it's never crossed your mind, but it's crossed my mind before. But that's me, okay? So, how? You know, we told you of the parable of talents just now. And the parable of talents say that each one of us is given a certain measure of gifts. Each one of us is given a certain measure of resources, time, money, capabilities, gifts. And I think, just like the parable of talents, how much is expected from you, how much is expected from you is really how much has been given to you. Some of you, you have an immense amount of talent. You know, God's really blessed you with great talent. You can dance, you can sing, you can talk, you can do acrobatics. Whatever it is, you have a huge amount of talent and you have a huge amount of resources. I think then your response to God is, God, I want to use to the fullness of the talents that you've given me. For some of you, maybe you only can dance and you can sing. Then use those talents and to the extent that God has given you. You know, whatever talents, whatever resources, to the extent and to the capabilities God has given you, that's how you measure yourself. Don't measure yourself to someone else. Don't measure yourself to anyone except what God's gift and talents have been given to you. Don't waste it, but use it to the fullness of the capability of God. The first thing that I hope today, that as we speak today, that we want to make sure that everybody is released to serve in the gifts that God has given you. That's the key thing that we want. Everyone to be released to serve in the key things, in the things that God has given to you to serve in your life. So that's my first thought, okay? That's my first thought. Long first thought, but that's my first thought. Don't worry, we'll finish before 6 o'clock. 1 Peter 4:10-11, I'm going to read the rest of the scripture, just a couple more thoughts, and then we'll be done for today, okay? So I'm going to read the whole passage for you, and I'll give you another couple more thoughts. 1 Peter 10:10-11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. My second question as I read this was that I was very, very, very taken aback by this word, right? You see the start of verse 11 says this, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Wow. How many of you know what an oracle is? In the first service, someone said the oracle is like a fortune teller. Okay, the oracle is like a prophet. He speaks the word of God to you in those days, right? So it's an oracle of God. And that really scared me, you know. It's like, if you speak, if you teach, if you are speaking, you know what? You better speak the word of God. That's what he's saying. And that scared me because I speak a lot. I hope most of what I say is the oracle of God, but I don't know. And that scared me, you know, as I read this and I said, maybe I don't want to speak this week. Then Pastor Sean fell sick. So I got no choice. I got to speak today. I know it's a joke sometimes, but you know, it struck me that in what it's trying to say is that to the best of our abilities when we serve, when I speak, for example, I must speak what God wants to say. I must speak the voice of God into people. I must think as I speak, what does God want to say to this person? And that's how we serve, right? We have to serve as an ambassador of God. We must serve like an agent of God. We represent God. We have to be a representative of God. So when we do and when we serve, we have to be that. When you are simple example, when you're an usher, you know what? How would God want to welcome someone? Good morning, great to see you here this morning. Oh, we're so overjoyed that you came to join us this morning. How do you project, how do you represent God in how you serve? And it extends beyond just, you know, a face value, but we really want to be serving as if God is serving through us. God is doing that thing through us. And that's an awesome responsibility, but that's what Peter says. When we serve as oracles of God. We serve as representatives of God. We serve as agents for God. And if we do that, then that's an awesome responsibility that we carry. And that's not just an awesome responsibility, but that impacts the way that we want to serve. I think if we really think about it, then when we serve, we want to say, God, I want to serve to the best that I can. I want to prepare as much as I can so that I can give the best that I can to the best of the abilities and the grace that you have shown me. That's as much as I want to do to the best that I can. And I want to have a right attitude and a right and willing heart to do it. You know, so as you serve today, you know, the thought that struck me was, I am not just serving because of myself, definitely not for my glory, but I'm serving not just what I want to do, but I have to serve to that standard that say, you know, yeah, I think I'm doing my best to represent what God wants to say or what God wants to do through me. Whatever ministry that we are doing, we take it to the highest level that we can. Now, in this church, I want to also tell you a little bit more about this church. In this church, we always want you to do the best you can. We never demand perfection. You've never seen any of your leaders say, I expect you to sing perfectly. I expect you to usher perfectly. I expect you to play your instrument perfectly. I expect you to do the sound perfectly. I expect you to do everything perfect. We never say that. Your coffee must be perfect with the latte art. And, you know, if it's 2 centimeters or 2 inches out, it's out. Or 2 millimeters out, it's out. We are not about perfection. Don't get me wrong. We're not about perfection. But we are about you doing the best that you can to represent and honor God in however and whatever you do. So today, as you come here, you know, if you are not being fully released in the gift that God has given you, we want to see you released fully in the gift that God has given you. Secondly, if you are serving and serving together with us, we want to give you every opportunity to do the best that you can do so that you can represent God in how you serve. Can you imagine how this church will be like? Can you imagine how people will experience us and you will experience this church if every one of us is released to the fullness of God's gift for your life? Number one, every one of us was that. Number two, if all of us were released to serve and given the opportunity to serve and we all serve to the best of our abilities, I think this place would be an absolutely electrifying place. Not that it isn't already, but can you imagine the level we will be at? Second thought, okay? Third thought that I want to share with you is this. Third thought, final thought. It says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. I think it's very easy for us as we serve, and some of you have been serving for some time. If you have been serving for some time, you will sometimes feel discouraged. How many of you have served and never been discouraged before in your life? Please put your hand up. Oh, nobody. Oh, okay. So you're like me. You know, I've served many, many years of my life. I've served a lot since I was probably 13, 14, 12 years old. And now I'm only 18, so that's 6 years. I've served a lot, many years in my life. And I can tell you that there has always been ups and downs. There's always been times when I'm discouraged. There's always times I feel discouraged. There's always times that I feel that I'm not good enough. I sometimes don't do the best, or I'm not that of that standard. I sometimes feel discouraged because I don't see the fruit of what I do. You know, I do this for so long, but instead of people getting encouraged, they feel discouraged. When I teach them about God, instead of them becoming better, they become worse. You know, I've been discouraged before. And not only that, but I have challenges in my own life. And maybe you have challenges in your life. Sometimes it's a work challenge, and you are so frustrated because of it, and it takes you away from being able to do the work of God. Or maybe it's a business challenge, and it's so difficult. Or maybe it's a family challenge, or even illness. Whatever it is, sometimes we can be distracted, and we can be discouraged, and we can feel down, and we can feel not good enough, and we can feel so many different emotions. But Peter says that we can do this in the strength that God supplies us and in the grace that God supplies us. Let me give you a little bit of background, Peter again. Peter, remember, he's the guy who denied Jesus. You deny Jesus, okay? Probably feel down. And in this point in history, I was just telling you that Peter was in Rome, and he was in jail. And he's been beaten, he's been trialed, he's in jail, and he's close to death, actually. After maybe a short time after this, he was actually put to death. He was actually put to death by the Emperor Nero, probably. So if you were Peter and you had gone through such a difficult suffering in your life, and you were now currently still suffering and in prison, you know, if it were me and I was writing to the church, this is how I would write a book to the church. This is how I would write, okay? Not Peter, but me. To the disciples in Asia Minor, in every suffering, give thanks to the Lord. In all my burdens and all my suffering, I count on the strength of God and the grace of God. In my sufferings, though it may be painful, I know God is with me and I can count His sufficient grace for me. It's so difficult. Love, Alex. I don't know about you, but that's probably how I write. That kind of a tone, right? How many of you write that way? Or have written that way before? To, you know, when you're struggling? Yeah, that's probably how you write. But you know, when you look at Peter, when he was writing 1 Peter, right? He writes in the beginning of 1 Peter, he says, you know, you have a hope and a joy in Christ. Wow, you're in jail, and you say, I have a hope and a joy in Christ, and you can find that hope and that joy in Christ. He writes of the privilege that we have in Christ. He writes of the position that we have in Christ, that even in persecution, we can, you know, have that hope and we have that joy. Love, Peter. He sends this kind of an email. Look at that faith. Look at that grace. Look at that strength that he has even in the difficult times in his life. And I think when we serve, we can serve with the strength and the grace of God in our life. When we have the grace and the strength of God in our life, and we serve even in the difficult times, we can serve with a trust that no matter what we are going through, His grace, His strength is sufficient for us. And that even when you serve, and I know some of us, when we serve, we're actually going through a difficult time, but when we serve, we can still serve to the fullness of the grace of God, and we can still be a blessing for people. And as we serve, God is going to provide that grace and provide that strength for us. So today, I want you to be released to serve in the fullness of the gifts that God has for you, to the fullness and the capabilities that He's given to you, to the fullness of what He has done for you. Secondly, I want you to know that as you serve, I want you to understand that you serve as an oracle of God, as an agent of God. You serve to the fullness of your capabilities because you want to honor God. And thirdly, that even as you serve, the grace of God is there for you in every situation that you serve in and that you face as you serve God. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Today, as you come here today, if you're someone, you know, who's kind of new to us, or you've been with us for some time and you're wondering about this serving thing and you are not yet serving, again, there's no obligation, but I want to encourage you today to say, God, you've given me gifts, you've given me resources. Lord, is there a way that you want me to serve your people? Is there a way that I can serve you to honor you in my life? And you take the time and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let Him speak to you. And at the end of today, if you want to speak to any one of us, we'd be happy to speak to you. And I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your life, just to show you the gifts and the immense grace that He's shown in your life, so that you can be released in the full potential that God has for you. For those of you who are serving today, I'm so grateful you're serving. But maybe for you today, your question is, Lord, am I serving to the full capacity that you have given me? Because I want to honor you, Lord. Just as you have given me a certain amount of talent, a certain amount of resource, I want to make myself available to use all that to honor you. And if that's you today, you know, you just have to respond and say, Lord, would you search my heart? Would you search my heart and tell me, Lord? Tell me, Holy Spirit. Tell me, Holy Spirit. Am I serving to the fullness of your grace in my life? There's also a group of you today that maybe your takeaway is that, Lord, I want to serve you to the fullness that I can. And I want to be an excellent servant of yours so that I can represent you and I can be your ambassador in how I serve, Lord. Maybe I've been serving for myself. Maybe I've been serving in my mind. But today you are serving to glorify our God. And if that's you today, say, Holy Spirit, help me to see how I can glorify you in how I serve. Let me make you the center of my service. And if that's you today, you respond that way. And still, there's another group of you today, if you come here today, and you've been serving, and you've been faithful, but you're wondering, oh God, I'm so tired. God, I'm discouraged. God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm down. Tell you that God's grace is more than sufficient for you, and He will meet you at your point of need. That in your serving today, He is a God that will refresh you. He's a God that's telling you, don't give up. He's a God that's telling you that I am with you, and my grace and my strength is with you, and I'm going to do wonderful things through how you're serving. I'm blessing people through your serving, and I'm your strength and I'm your grace. Father God, every heart here is open to your Spirit. Would you speak to us so that we can become a people that serves to the fullness of the gifts that you've given us. And we can become a people that serves to honor you for your purpose and to glorify you in your purpose. And that we become a people that serves with the strength and the grace of God so full in us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Release us, O Lord, in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Our service is over this morning. You know, if you need us to pray for you for anything at all, we'll be happy to pray for you. Myself and the leaders will be right in the front. Just come and see us. We will be happy to pray for you. Otherwise, we wish you a great week ahead, and we want to pray God's blessing for you. God bless you all.